I am an imna person, so sometimes I will be bringing those old hymns which bring you closer to your maker. As I mentioned at the start of this service, I said we are in the Lenten season. And this is a time for an individual spiritual reflection. The Bible passage for the third Sunday in Lenten has been taken from John 2:13-22, which has been read out to us. Thank you, Matthew, for doing that. Though we started from verse 13, I think it is good for me to give you a bit of background what happened before verse 13. If you read John 2:1-12, it records the wedding attended by Jesus Christ at Cana. Remember that wedding service where Jesus turned water into wine. And after this, in verse 12, the Bible records that Jesus traveled from Cana to Capernaum. The Bible records it. If you read any commentary, it says it's a very short journey. So you will think, okay, this is a journey of about a few hours. But lo and behold, it's a full day journey from Cana to Capernaum. And he traveled with his mother, his brothers, his disciples, and they stayed there for a few days. Capernaum. What is special about Capernaum? Some Bible scholars tell us that Capernaum is like the London, the junction. You know, here in the United Kingdom, there is no city that cannot find its way to London. Capernaum is such at a junction. And therefore, you have traders traveling to Capernaum. And Jesus decided to choose this very particular city because of the logistics importance to be his own headquarters in Galilee to minister the word. And he just did not travel alone. He went with his disciples, those who have offered their life to be guided, to be led by Jesus Christ. He also traveled with his brothers. Maybe they traveled with him because, you know, he has just turned water into wine. Can we therefore go and see him again perform other miracles? And he also traveled with the mom, with the mother, who also want to learn at his feet. So the first food for thought here is, why do you follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Is it because you're used to coming to church every Sundays? Or it's become a tradition? Or you come to church because you want to see, receive the miracles? You know, last Sunday, I told us our theme for the year is beyond. Can you imagine what can do in your life? Beyond imagination. Can you also imagine if you live, if you surrender like we are this morning? Can you imagine what God can do through you? Why do you follow Jesus? If somebody asks you, you have been going to church since all these days, why do you follow Jesus? What will be your response? What will be your response? Is it because he has changed your life? has turned things around? Or you just follow Jesus just on Sundays, let me go on the bench. Oh, I will see my friends in church. Oh, I will see Ian talking again, and you know. Why do you follow Jesus? And then verses 13 to 17 reads, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them out, all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. And his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Verse 13 says, Jesus observed the Passover. He didn't say, I am God, and therefore I can do what I like. He subjected even himself to the law. Exodus 23:17. It says, Christ being made under the law. He was made under the law. He observed the law. He observed the Passover. He obeyed the law. He was man. He didn't do things outside the law. What is that telling us as Christians to? We do not live in isolation. We live in a society. And therefore we must. What I am telling you also at times affects me. Because when we say law, no matter, law is law. Let's be honest with ourselves. One way or the other, we have broken the law. Oh, how? Let's be honest. When you are in a hurry to go somewhere, 30 miles per hour, and you do 40, 50, are we not breaking the law? 20 miles per hour, and we are doing 30. Matthew is smiling. Because we do those things. Now, if we are caught, that's the second one. Jesus obeyed the law. He obeyed. He didn't say, I am out of this. He observed the Passover. And in verse 14, Jesus now in Jerusalem, he went straight to the temple. And when he got there, he saw the mess. The money changers. You know, the temple is there. People come from far away. And when they need to make sacrifices, those things were, they were there. But is that where the things for sacrifices should be? The temple. This is where God meets with his people. When the temple was built, Solomon prayed prayers. He said, God, when your people come here, hear them, O Lord. When they wronged, forgive them, O Lord. The temple is where God meets with his people. The temple is where You have that communion with your maker, with your creator. It is supposed to be a solemn place where you worship. Can you imagine we having church service here and then over there you have sheep and oxen? Bah, bah, over there. Would that not cause a bit of distraction? And people exchanging money and making noise, and here we are worshiping God. Just imagine it. And Jesus said, "What have you turned my Father's house into?" Today, do you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you know, some scholars even said the chief priests allowed them, those money changers, those selling and buying for rent, what comes into their own pocket for gratification. It should not be. So today I want to tell you, your body is, as the Bible has recorded it, is the temple of God. You are the chief priest now. So what have you allowed within the temple? Have you allowed money changers? What are those things that you have allowed to come in between your worship? Our life ought to be a daily worship, living sacrifice unto God. The temple of Christ is your body. Are there money changers there? When Jesus got there, he drove them out. What do you need to drive out? What do I need to drive out? What should not be it within the temple of God that is still there? What do you need with the help of the Holy Spirit to drive out? It could be anger. It could be unforgiveness. It could be slander. You know it, and I know mine. Are you hiding under the, you know, when somebody hides behind one finger? Don't worry, everybody sins. Remember, Apostle Paul said, can we continue in sin and say grace may abound? What was his response? He said, never. What do we need to drive out? Jesus called there, he overturned the tables of the money changers. He threw their coins out. Jesus coming, Holy Spirit within our lives, what is it telling us? Jide, what do you need to do? Jide, this is what you need to do. And am I listening? Are you listening to the voice of God? We just sung the song, Purify My Heart. If you've done elementary chemistry and you see gold, raw gold, you'll be kicking it because you'll never. But that same gold, that raw gold, if it passes through fire, then it becomes 12 carat, 18 carat, 24 carat, 36 carat, and you put your money on it. It's passed through fire. We as Christians seated here, I said to us last week, the world is as it is because we Christians, instead of the world copying us, what have we done? We have copied the world. We copy the world. The Bible says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your heart. We are not transformed. Jesus did not just look. He didn't come into the temple and say, oh my God, look at how they turned my father's house. He acted. He acted. You are here this evening. As a Christian, as a child of God, what are the things you need to drop? What are the things Holy Spirit is telling you you need to drop? What are the things you need to do, drive out of your life with the help of the Holy Spirit? What are the things that need to be overturned? You know what? When Jesus was doing it, the chief priest knew the right thing. They didn't question him. They didn't question him. If God actually lives in you, will you listen to God? Will you listen to those still voices coming to you? Jesus cleansed the temple. What is it that you want, or you will allow Holy Spirit to purge your life? What are the things that I will allow the Holy Spirit to purge in my life? Our body is the temple of Christ. It must be kept holy. The temple of God is not an avenue to make money or do business. It is a place of worship. So is your life on a daily basis worshiping God? Is my life on a daily basis advertising Christ? My neighbors, my children, my family members, my friends, can they of course say, Jide is a Christian, is a child of God. Christianity is not a Sunday thing. It is what we do every day, every second. Is your life advertising Christ? Is your life lived as a worship unto God? Yes, we know we will fall into sin. But then, there are things we know we should not do, but we do intentionally. There is nothing like white lie. Let us examine our lives. What is it that we want Holy Spirit to overturn in our lives? Let us pray. Is the zeal of God consuming you? Is your temple full of those who are selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers? Are the money changers sitting there in your temple? What is it that you need Holy Spirit to help you drive out? This is a time of reflection, the Lenten season. Christ has come. He has paid the price. The price has been paid. All we need to do is rely and be obedient. The scripture says, if we say we knew not sin, we call God a liar. But if we come to him, he is true and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. Can we tell God? God, I need you to move in this area of my life. Speak to God. I'm going to ask John to pray for us. John, over to you, please.
Father God, as we heard this morning and have heard again this evening, you've called us to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you. And yet, Father, we're so aware that in our own weakness, in our frailty as human people, that, Lord, we are so weak and we constantly just make the wrong choices. And so, Lord, tonight we just pray that you'd fill us afresh with your Spirit, that you indeed would purify our hearts, that you would take control of every area of our lives, and where we are weak, come by your Spirit, we pray, and change us, hone us, refine us. Lord, purify our hearts, we pray, that we might be able to leave here knowing you, loving you, ready to serve you with all that we are. Father, give us the courage, we pray. And we just thank you that your grace is sufficient for us, that your love is unending, that you are our wonderful Lord, Saviour, Father and friend. And we look forward to walking this week with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We also stick on to the attitude of prayer. And this time around, we want to pray for Romford Baptist Church. God has established us here for a purpose. And we want God's purpose 24/7, 7 days a week. 30, 31 days a month, 365 or 360 days a year to be fulfilled on this mountain. That will be a light to this dark world. that the zeal of God will consume us. We'll be able to speak against the evil out there. We'll be bold and brave to do that which God has called us to.
And so, Father God, we thank you that we are privileged, that we have somewhere that we can come to and seek to be your hands and feet in this place as well as further afield. Father God, as we were reminded this morning in the newcomers reception, for the number of people who come through the doors of the meeting place from Monday to Friday, Father God, we pray for the volunteers and the staff and for each person coming through. That, Lord, you will bless them. That, Lord, you will just be in the conversations, be in the moment of a quiet word, a smiling face, a hand of encouragement. For the 500 plus people that come through the front doors for the meeting place, we pray for the others who come through the other doors during the course of the week, another 400 or 500 people. That, Father God, for the things that they come for, they will meet with you. For the conversations that are had, that you will be at the centre. We pray for those leading and those helping at each one of those events that take place. Father God, we pray a blessing. And that, Lord, your name will be glorified. And Lord, for those in our own hearts that we know who are form part of this church or part of the wider community, Lord, perhaps those who are just struggling at this time, have your hand on them, we pray. Lord, you can do immeasurably more than we can even begin to imagine, and yet we still doubt. So forgive us, Lord, when we doubt, and give us the courage to believe beyond our imagination, because God, you are greater, and your love and your power and your might is beyond anything and anyone we can comprehend, because, Lord, you are the greatest God of all. And so those things that are heavy in the lives of those that we care about, Lord, we lift them to you, and we pray indeed for a miracle. We pray for your healing touch. We pray for your transforming power. We pray, Lord, for lives to be touched, for miracles to take place, for the wonder of you to be in each situation. And so, Father God, we thank you for all that you do, all that you will do, and all that you have done. And may we have the courage to continue shining for you day by day. For we ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you. We pray for our pastor now, Ian Bones, who also oversees Parkside. How he does it, I just don't know. You know, it's not something that is very easy to lead a church, because some people will be pulling it to the left, some will say to the right, some will say back, some will say front. And he is the one God has chosen to lead us at this time. He needs our prayer. He's the one leading the battle. And so he needs the fortification of the Holy Spirit. That in everything he does, God will shine through him. Let us pray for him.
As Judy just prayed, Lord, we thank you for Ian. We thank you, Lord, for his faithfulness all these years, Lord, in ministering in various churches, Lord. We thank you for his ministry here. We thank you, Lord, that he faithfully expounds your word week by week. We do really thank you for that, Lord. And I and my family especially want to thank you for Ian, the ministry he's given to us these last few months. We thank you for him, Lord. We pray, Lord, he be filled with the Spirit continually, day by day. He will know of your strength, he will know of your leading, and he will know that you are speaking through him. Give him that, Lord, I pray. We thank you for him, pray you'll bless him. And just give him the strength to carry on, Lord, in the a world that is becoming, or a society that is becoming more and more against the Christian message. We thank you, Lord, that he faithfully gives it. And we pray your blessing, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And our last prayer is going to be for the Baptist Union of Great Britain. This month of March is so important in the life of BUGB. March 18 is the decision day. And I think later in March, there is another decision to be taken. But we want God to uphold his church, and that his will alone be done. So,
and so we pray for our union. Lord, we pray as this month we see a major debate over the changing of the ministerial rules and the proposal to allow people in same-sex relationships to be ministers. Lord, we pray for the authority of Scripture to be dominant. Lord, we pray for the council meetings that happen, not this week, but next week. Lord, we just pray your spirit will move. And Lord, those that will seek to destroy the union will be brought down. Lord, we pray for unity. We pray for our General Secretary, for Lynn Green. Lord, we pray you will move in her life and give her the ability to lead. We pray for Seidel, who's going to be chairing those council meetings, Lord, that he will know your hand and wisdom upon him. And Lord, we pray for all the members of council, that, Lord, they will be open to your spirit's moving. And Lord, we pray for your churches. Lord, for the 2,200 local Baptist churches who are in fellowship together in this union, we just pray for them all, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that your hand will be upon them. Lord, we pray for a blessing on every church. We pray every church will see disciples. But Lord, as we gather around the declaration of principle that holds this union together, we recognize the Lordship of Christ and the importance of Scripture as the Holy Spirit leads us to understand it. And Lord, we pray that we will be people of the Word of God, and that we will follow what your Word says in every way, not just the convenient ways. And Lord, we pray your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, will be Lord of his church, his bride. We pray this in Jesus' name. And as we pray for our union, we pray for the associations, we pray for London Baptist. And Lord, we just pray for the regional ministers as well. Guide them all, we pray. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us not our trespasses, as we trespass those who pay against us. And lead us not into